Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Initech.
No, you're working at Initech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Out. Andrew on the board. SP Futures up 21. NASDAQ Futures up 139. Buy the dip! Buy the dip! No matter what it is, buy the dip. Close your eyes, buy the dip. So we have NVIDIA, which traded down to like 840 yesterday. It's trading 872. It's AI the religion. You got to buy NVIDIA. No matter what it is, you got to buy NVIDIA. You know, Apple's getting clobbered. We had some of the other big stocks getting clobbered, but no. Yesterday was a big down day. All it is a buying opportunity, Kevin. Just remember that.
What if you don't have money to buy?
Well, that's because you didn't buy early enough.
Oh, I see.
Just, you know, borrow some. What do you think everybody else is doing?
Yeah, credit card.
Yeah, well, put your credit card in your margin account and then borrow the 50% on that. So you're 100%.
All right. Sounds like a major plan.
Well, if it goes up, you know what the best thing in the world is and the worst thing in the world? Leverage. It all depends on timing.
Oh, yes.
Just saying, you know.
Well, how you doing today, Tom?
I'm doing all right. I just, yesterday actually was a okay day. We were able to do some stuff and made some money on some things. You know what, Kevin, yesterday, I don't know if you listened to the show, I am absolutely stunned about this off-balance sheet money. I was super pissed off at the government's handling of cash. Now I find out it's like twice as bad as I thought it was. I'm like stunned.
Yeah, well, and Carl followed up with some good examples too. So what can we say?
Yeah,
we are not privy to the truth.
No, and I. And why do I get this incredible feeling that the next two or three or four years we're gonna need some very serious leadership, and I don't see it on either one of these bumpkins. I can't. This whole idea that because this guy hates everybody, he should be president, and the other guy, because nobody else seems to want it, and he's 80-some years old, we're going to give it to him with a vice president that nobody wants to be president. This guy it has to be a nightmare I'm going to wake up from, but I don't think it is.
Well, I think you're oversimplifying on the hates everybody.
I know every decent conservative person, and there's a lot of them around, are trying to find a way to get behind this guy, but there is no way. There is no way.
Well, I mean, that's fine, Tom, but, you know, like I said, just to say, you know, the whole platform is he hates everybody just is not true, so.
Well, okay.
We keep saying it, but it's not true.
All right, well, who does he like?
What are you talking about, who does he like?
Well, he can't stand the Europeans because they're not, in his mind, they're not paying us money when they don't owe us money.
So when did the guy say he can't stand the Europeans?
100 times. He said he
can't stand them?
Okay, let's not get into this. He likes Putin better than them.
You're making something up here. That's just not
I'm saying he likes Putin better than them. He's going to encourage Putin to invade the places that don't do their 2%. You don't like somebody.
Seriously, that's what's going to happen. He's going to get elected president, and he's going to encourage Putin.
He did that 2 weeks ago.
Fine.
Whatever. What's going to happen is going to happen, and we can't fix it. I mean, everybody's convinced that the day he's president, some huge Berlin Wall is going to go up in the Rio Grande, and we're going to arrest all these people. I mean, I don't know. I just, the whole thing's out of control, Kevin, on both sides.
Well, I know, but it was under, as far as the border is concerned, it was under control. We had very low numbers.
It also has gotten a lot worse since he's been in there. The whole part, the whole thing in Venezuela and everything, it's not a static situation.
I understand, but when you rescind, when you write how many dozen executive orders on day one to rescind all the policies?
Well, the incompetence.
Then that's, you know, then I think we kind of know where the blame for that lies.
And how many is he going to do on day one?
Probably going to put back everything that they had in place.
I got news for you. That's no way to govern, and I know it's not news to you.
Well, it is not news that, you know, we should really do most of the stuff legislatively. However, you know, the executive order stuff, that as it relates to how they operate Homeland Security, is in the purview of the president. Would be a whole lot better if it were done through the legislature, because then it's really hard to undo it. You don't have to worry about the next person coming in and saying, okay, change of mind, let's do something different.
I agree,
it's not a good way to govern.
I have a real interesting...
In this particular case, it is part of the responsibility of the executive branch.
If I were to become a constitutional scholar, which isn't about to happen, I know I read the Constitution in high school and I read it somewhere again in college.
Oh, it would take you about an hour to read it now.
Okay. My point is, I don't think I'm going to find anything in there that defines an executive order.
Right. You will find stuff that outlines the responsibility of the executive branch of the government.
Right. I don't know of anything that says an executive order, if Congress is dead on their ass, you get to do this stuff, and what the limits of it are, if there's ever any money. I mean, there's nothing they can do by
so
executive
order. The duty of the Constitution is that it is not specific, and other than to say, if we don't specifically claim certain rights to the federal government, it is left to the states.
I don't think that... Is it possible to put an executive order out there, no matter what it is, even if it's an order for lunch, to not cost money, and yet all the money is supposed to come from the Congress?
Well, I agree, but you're not going to take every purchase order to Congress. So Congress gives you a budget.
All right. Well, I guess what I'm saying is, who defines?
So what are you suggesting here?
I'm suggesting, I have no idea what the limits of executive's order are. Who sets them, or do they just keep pushing until there are no limits? You know, the one thing that the last however many years of people in office, and I'm going to go with Obama, I'm going to go with Bush II, I'm going to go with Cheney and those, whatever those guys were, I'm going to go with Trump, I'm going to go with this guy. I have no idea the things that you and I thought were essentially laws, which I guess they weren't, or conventions, or morality, or whatever it is. It appears that none of that's true. I mean, none of it's true. The idea of congressmen trading while they're in there and not having having to give their money to a money manager where they don't even see what the guy does or anything like that. No, they just trade. They don't care. I mean, was it ever a convention? Was it ever a rule? Did they change the rule? Did they not enforce the rule? I think Americans, a lot of the people who follow Trump, honestly, and I'm kind of with them on this, are absolutely confused on what the rules are for people. In addition to not wanting to follow them, no one even knows what they are. I mean, can these guys walk out of a meeting and trade? Well, now, they can't really, but there's not really a rule. But then again, we're never really going to enforce it, and we're sure as hell not going to kick a guy out of Congress for doing it. I mean, what does that even mean, Kevin? In the vernacular of how you're supposed to behave, how do you even address it?
Well, you can try to write rules, the old adage of the rules are for the suckers who intend to follow them.
Well, yeah,
But we were talking about border security, and the thing is, there are very specific laws about what the responsibilities of the federal government are and under what circumstances people should be waived into the country and under what circumstances they should not be allowed or should be returned to their home countries. These are all pretty specific laws that are on the books now.
Okay.
And so, you know, we're just not following them. So if you have an executive order that basically says we're going to follow the law, I'm all for it.
All right. Well, we don't have how many laws, and again, I'm just trying to make conversation here because you can't dispute anything you just said, and yet I can name you 50 laws if I thought about it to the end of the show that nobody gives a rat's behind about, never going to be enforced, and nobody cares.
Yeah, so we should get them off the books.
Well, either we get them off the books or do something about them. I agree. Should we get rid of murder in Chicago and not even have that on the books since we don't care about that one?
I would say, I said either get them off the books or enforce them.
Yeah.
I think that's one we'd probably do well to enforce.
How are we doing on that one? We got, like, how many murders this year? We've arrested two people.
Not so hot. Local responsibility. You and your fellow Chicago residents are probably going to have to do something about that, but I have no faith in you.
Well, the only, unfortunately, with the me being from Chicago and you formerly and some of the other people on the show, we become a little Chicago-centric. It's not just here. I mean, it's a matter of fact, I don't know if you noticed.
Well, I understand. I agree with you.
8094, by the way, is closed this morning because of a fatal shooting. This is in Indiana. And Kevin Spott, well, he's actually in Michigan, but he hangs around in Indiana a lot.
Oh, and I'm not in northwest Indiana. The region is different from the rest of the world.
Well, whatever. For those that don't know,
it really is part of the Chicago urban sprawl or suburban sprawl.
Well, the 8094 is a five-lane, is it five or six now? Incredible. If you're moving from west to east through the Midwest, you're on 8094, basically. And this morning, the thing is totally closed.
If you're smart, you're on 70. But okay.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is totally closed because of a shooting. Somebody shooting out of their cars. Of course, there's not a policeman anywhere in the damn thing. I'll make you a bet, Kevin. I'm gonna driving out to Oak Brook today to see a client. Not Oak Brook, Orland. I'm gonna say that's probably 40 miles. I will see no policeman front or back. Will you take that bet?
Oh, boy, that's a close call. What kind of odds would give me?
Well, I mean, now I have to be specific. If there's an accident or something, then they'll be there. They materialize out of nowhere. But I'm just in regular traffic. If somebody hits the shoulder at 100 miles an hour or buzzes around you at 90 or anything like that, do you think there's a chance of anybody being pulled over, any regular policeman out there?
I won't take the bet with you.
No. So now we're going to close this thing this morning for, let's say, 3 hours. What are the chances of, after we now have 100 policemen out there policing brass and doing every damn other things you do, I'm gonna give them a 1 in 10 chance of arresting the person after making sure that everybody else is inconvenienced for the entire morning.
Okay.
I can't believe I'm saying it.
Would you say calling for more law enforcement? As opposed to that whole defund the police movement that we had, would you say that is hating people?
I'm going to say that you need enough people around. As long as people want to be bad people, you need people to protect the rest of society from those people, or else they have to protect themselves, which becomes chaos, which is about where we're going.
Okay.
I mean, if you didn't have Marshall Dillon...
I would have sworn you thought that kind of a policy statement would have been hating.
No. Why would it be hating? I'm trying to protect the people that are law-abiding. And if the police don't...
I listened to the victory speech last night. That's kind of one of the things they said.
Well, I'm not... I think that's part of it. I don't know what... I don't know what the deal is, Kevin. I honestly don't. I mean, I don't know how the idea... I was listening. I don't know what the episode was the other night. But there was this massive demonstration about some police shooting. Last time I looked in Chicago this year, there were no police shootings. But all the other shootings, I mean, what are they talking about? I don't. This whole thing is really, it's confusing me. And I think it's confusing a lot of people. Just as confusing I am about.
It's confusing a lot of people because we have now made it a point to say, how do we divide people? Because dividing people is a great way for me to have some power.
Without a doubt.
And so, you know, that's what's behind a whole lot of this, and you know, it's coming from from the top down. And, you know, while you complain about Trump doing it, it's coming big time from the Biden administration, probably more so.
Where, you know, it's an interesting...
Because, you know, right down to, you know, everything is MAGA Republicans, MAGA Republicans, and said with a genuine disdain for half of the United States of America. But also, you know, how many policies do we have, and how much rhetoric do we have that comes out of that? And then out of the, you know, out of media, if you should watch Joy Reid sometime, you know.
Well, I don't watch it.
Or even Krugman. You know, Krugman writing just wrote an article about, you know, this is all about rural white rage.
White rage? What's he talking about?
Yeah, well, there you go. And so, you know, this whole divisiveness thing, it works politically. It works for a lot of people. It's just a really, really crappy thing to be doing.
I wish I knew. You know, I see the administration as being very ineffective. And as you know, I'm no fan, and I'm not going to vote for them either.
No, I think they're very effective. They're just effective.
Well, I mean, here's what I don't get. And I really have a personal issue because I can't figure it out. You can't, when you look at people that are incompetent, and then in the next breath you say they're this incredibly organized thing all the way down through society. Can't both be true, Kevin. I don't think Joe Biden has a clue what's going on with the demonstrations here in Chicago, and he wouldn't know Chicago if it hit him in the ass. I mean, they're so incompetent. I don't see how they could. I think people are doing what they're doing on their own somehow, or just somehow getting their own little power plays. I mean, I don't know
well,
the answer.
Let's push it down through the ranks, because do you think Kim Fox is incompetent, or do you think that Kim Fox is playing an agenda?
Sort of both. And I think some things I happen to...
Because they're very intentional. When you talk about prosecuting crime, what we're saying is they're not prosecuting crime on purpose.
I think that that's... You know, let's go to break it. Because I've listened to so many of my every week I meet with judges and attorneys, right? Sometimes a few guys, sometimes a bunch of guys. And actually a few ladies once in a while. And the part that I, you know, and you and I, Kevin, once in a while we get on this topic, and we probably should stay on it more, is government pushing us, or are we pushing them? Is this just the society that we somehow have? I think Kim Fox doesn't want to prosecute people that she can't win the case for. And if she can't win the case, I don't think she wants him sitting in jail for 2 years. And I'm not so sure I disagree with either one of those things. Now, the question is, why can't people get prosecuted? Now, what is going on in these areas, not just the areas? We're talking about the 17, you know, I should know whether he died or not before I say this. The last weekend or the weekend before, some 17-year-old kid gets shot in a hotel room on the near north side. They take him to Northwestern. He's near death. Whether he made it or not, I don't know. He still wouldn't say anything against the guy who shot him. I mean, my people tell me if you don't have some kind of a door camera or some kind of a camera on somebody or DNA, the idea of getting a witness of anything like that, especially if you push the trial out a year and a half or two, which seems to be the incompetence of it, you can't convict anybody. So if you can't convict anybody, it really isn't all that right to keep people in jail for 2 years only to be found not guilty. And probably, and this is the story, the police are terrible at getting witnesses at the scene. They're terrible at getting any kind of evidence. The forensic stuff's no good. They lose it. I mean, it's hard to pick out one reason when there's this whole sea of reasons that all this stuff is a mess.
Then it's probably not a good idea to essentially wave gang members from the drug cartels across the border so that the situation gets worse in every city in the United States. Probably not a good idea, but that doesn't mean they're incompetent. That just means the policy
is
letting people in.
I'm going to absolutely, I mean, Carl's the same way. I drive by these places here in Chicago where a lot of the people are. The issues in Chicago regarding the murders and so forth, maybe you can keep your ear to the thing, and you might find one of these guys getting pissed off and doing something. But Chicago's problems have nothing to do with these people being here. Is it another irritant? Is it something they're not set up to handle? But the idea, these people are not shooting people on the expressways. I'm sorry, they're not. You know, I mean, it's another problem that Chicago doesn't need because they can't.
I would say, don't be so sure that the problem existed before we went with porous borders. But that doesn't mean we aren't just now piling on by allowing.
We're piling on in services.
Piling all the trade, the human trafficking, the drug trade, all of that by allowing that to just pile into the country. We're just making it worse.
I don't think it's helping. I didn't say that. But I said, as you're talking about, a city that can't handle any of its own problems. They don't need any new ones. I'm agreeing with you. But the new problems aren't. If none of those people were here, Chicago would still be in the trouble it's in. Maybe 10% less.
I won't argue with that. You know, Chicago was bleeped up right from, you know, all along. So
now, if you're talking about a city in Texas, well, yeah, then I got to go with you. I'm not so sure I want to.
You know, you're also talking about other cities throughout the United States, and police leadership and police. You know, I've seen enough interviews where they're saying, yeah, the amount of new gang activity, the new cartel activity that's in there, and the amount of human trafficking. I mean, hell, the normal people, the people who are just coming to the U.S. for economic activity, the women are all, you know, they all pack morning after pills because they know they're going to get raped along the way.
Well, I'm going to say that.
Know, I mean, this is you know, this is what we've wrought, and this is what we're allowing into the country in quantity.
Kevin, we were human trafficking here 5 years ago.
Yes, and now.
I mean, Tom Dart has been all. Tom and Dart
made it easier. Let's do that.
Okay, but you can't. I mean, that's one thing I was disagreeing with Carl about. It's not all on these people. It's maybe 10% of it is. Tom Dart has been fighting this human traffic stuff for 10 years. Yeah. And I happen to know that he's been fighting a war on his own. Basically, he's had to go to Washington. He's made this one of his things as Cook County Sheriff. Tom Dart happens to be a pretty good guy. And he sees it, and nobody wants to even acknowledge it, Kevin. He's been doing it for a decade, long before this ever started. Is it worse? Probably. I mean, I'm not going to argue with there because I don't know. Why would I say it's not worse when other people are coming in? But it didn't start there. Anyway, S&P futures up 20, and NASDAQ futures up 133. Be right back.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox. The control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. We got Andrew on the board. SP Futures up 22, NASDAQ Futures up 141. We're trying to buy the dipperoo here as we do yesterday. Let's see where we were. Let's see if we're doing a Fibonacci yet. Yesterday, S&P was down 22, so we're up 22, so that's a little 40-some percent. Fibonacci would be 66%, I believe. I'm not a Fibonacci fan, but I think that's the number. NASDAQ was down 267, and that's back 139, so that's about half. We're trying here. Dow was down 404. A lot of that was Apple, and today we've got the Dow up 95, so that's not close to coming back to what was yesterday over in Europe. But the DAX up a buck. These guys were pretty complacent yesterday as well. Up a buck, 17,699. FTSE ups 21.3%. Kick around up 66 cents. Call that flat. Now, today's a big day over there because the UK government is delivering their pre-election budget announcement with the economy in recession. They're in a, quote, official recession over there. We will never admit to one here ever again. So I don't think that'll happen on this end. Doesn't mean we won't have one. It just means we won't ever say we had one. Nikkei down 6. That's pretty quiet considering what's going on. Hang Seng bouncing back after yesterday's huge sell-off. Up 275, 1.7%, 16,438. Shanghai down 7, 0.2%. That's pretty flat too. So kind of eerily quiet around the world a little bit this morning. Bonds 10-year up 1 basis points, 4.15. The Bund up 1, 2.34. Japan up 2, 0.72. Oil up 66 cents, 78.81. Went up 50 cents, 82.54. Natural gas down a penny, 194. RBOB up a penny, 254. So not much movement there either. Foreign exchange, 108.7 in the euro. It's been right where it's been. Same thing with the pound. Well, pound's actually up a hair, 127. Gold down 20 cents, 21.41. Silver up 3 cents, 24.02. Copper up a penny, 386. We have Bitcoin up 4,000. 66,411, but they must have been down yesterday because that's kind of where the number was yesterday morning. What do you got for us, Trevi, weather sports?
All right, it is 6:42 here in Chicago on Wednesday, March 6th. Starting off with a little bit of sports, the Blackhawks won over the Coyotes 5-2, and I genuinely think that's the first win I've reported from them in a very long while.
On the road, it's like 20-some games or 19. It's an incredible amount.
good to hear. But over with a little bit of basketball, the Suns, the Arizona Suns, won over the Nuggets, 117-107. Over to Chicago traffic, we are currently at 40 degrees. We're going to have a high of 45 today. Skies are going to stay pretty cloudy and a little bit of chances of rain throughout the day, but not too much, no more than about 5%, but we'll see how that goes. Over in Phoenix, they're currently at 53 degrees. They have mostly cloudy skies. They're going to have a high of 75, and that's going to hit around 6 p.m. Also, a very, very slight chance of rain into the night. Finally, for Chicago traffic, a bit of the usual slowdowns on the inbound expressways. And it looks like, I had some accidents to report, but it looks like they've all cleared up as of now. Something new just popped up here. It looks like the exit ramp closed due to an overturned semi. The Tri-State South at Eisenhower Expressway.
Well, that's great.
So, yep, looks like some things are better, but some things are worse as of right now. So, that's all I got. Back to you, Chief.
Kevin, if we ever could get a really, I don't know if I could ever get him on, but you could talk to one of these Cook County sheriffs going back. The amount of knowledge those guys have on the society and some of the societal changes and what it's caused for the jail are really something. I mean, the closing of the Tinley mental health facility, which they just finally sold to somebody, was that like a decade ago? I mean, Tom Dart would say all those guys ended up in jail because they'd wander around. They couldn't take care of themselves. They ended up doing some petty crime, and all of a sudden they're in jail. But they used to, both Sheehan, who was the sheriff before Dart, they used to be members up at the LaSalle Club, where I was. And talk about a twosome, Kevin. Dart would always go work out. He's pretty quiet. Sheehan is not quiet. Didn't really want to work out. Nicest guy. He used to be a referee. So somehow he finds out from Beldo that I went to Notre Dame. So every morning when he could find me, he latches on. Plus, if he could talk to me for a half hour, then he'd say it's too late to work out, and he'd just go in the sauna and shower, right? He'd never go to the gym. But nice guy. Well, here's a story you'd like. One day he goes, I'm reffing this game, and the Irish are playing. And of course, he's an Irish fan. And he goes, this other guy goes, I finally get my chance to, like, screw these Irish guys. He goes, because I'm looking at him. Sure, he goes, sure enough, the first play or the second play, the guy wings a penalty from his area. I don't know what they all were, field judge or who was in what position. And he calls a penalty in my area in the Irish. And he goes, there was no penalty. So the next play, I wing a flag in his area against the other team. And I said to him, is this going to go out all day, or are we going to do this right? You imagine it going down in an NCAA game, these two guys fighting over which team they want to throw flags at?
Oh, God, yeah. I can totally imagine it.
But on a horrible note, one of his granddaughters evidently was out skiing and whacked into a tree and died about a month ago.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I guess, everybody knows him, likes him, and his younger brother is the big shot for Chicago Special Olympics.
Oh.
So yeah. The family has been serious for the Chicago area for a long time. Anyway, but those guys, the guy before Sheehan was interviewed, he was a Republican, real smart guy, and he was talking about how the average reading level or something in the jail, this had to be 20 years ago, the average reading level was like 6th grade or something. He goes, we have no budget whatsoever for any sort of education when people are in here. So he goes, we absolutely are short-sighted. He goes, if we had some kind of education and training in here, in the long run, it would probably be cheaper because people wouldn't come back, or at least not everybody. Some would stay out and actually get a real job when they get out of here. He goes, now, you get somebody here with an 80 IQ and a sixth grade reading level, and they're here for 3 years, and when they leave with the same reading level and they come back, why are you shocked? I mean, it is stunning how much some of these people know and how nobody ever listens to them. I mean, they don't, maybe politically they can't say what they really want to say or something, but you and I know, even if we disagree on some politics, both of us would listen to some of this stuff, and we would have a program the next day trying to mitigate some of this. You can't just keep putting your mentally ill people in the jail when they don't really deserve to be there. They're only committing crimes because they can't take care of themselves. And by the way, if you have to have some kind of training in here, or else when you kick somebody out with no skills, they're going to be right back. I mean, this is common sense on such the lowest level, Kevin, and yet what are we've been doing it for how long now?
And yet we're not very good at it.
No.
So, yeah, there is a lot of actual community college activity in the jails, but, it's...
I think in Indiana more than here, but I hope I'm wrong now.
The other place where you see a lot of it is people doing it as a ministry for their faith.
Yeah.
So those people are amazing that do that, because it's totally volunteer. But that's a big problem. I mean, literacy in general is a big problem. It's one of the immigration issues too. How do you follow standard operating procedures if they're written in English and you don't speak English? And maybe you learn some words, but you never learn to read. This is part of the folly of what we're doing, where we're just waving people in and sending them to cities. How is a city supposed to cope with that one issue? you know, just that one simple issue that makes people, you know, difficult to employ, and makes it difficult for them to stay employed when they do land jobs. When you go back to it, people like me, I am not in any way opposed to immigration. I think we can use, you know, good, reliable workers, and you do get a lot of people with a great work ethic coming in. But part of the reason it has to be done legally is because we have to be able to identify and address needs for people if they're going to come into the country as potential employees. We're going to have to address all of those kinds of needs, and that has to be part of the equation. And you can't do that when people are sneaking into the country.
Well, you and I, we're getting this at, coming at this, and I don't think we're necessarily disagreeing, Kevin. On a macro level, I can't even comprehend what, you know, 100,000 people coming over in a month, coming across the river, even does for you. I mean, it's above my pay grade. It's like $1 trillion. I can't even really recognize it. But the place I go by every day, I'm going to say there's the same. I'm going to say 70 people, might be 100. There's this building across from the salt shed. It must have been abandoned or something. The city must have taken it over. And you see most of these guys and ladies out in front all day long with posters saying, "I will work." Some of them scoot over to the Home Depot and try and get a job there. You see them get them dropped off. On that micro level, I can't imagine that we can't, with all the people that do God knows what for the city, on that micro level, I can't believe that we can't have some kind of a program for those 100 people. Now, whether they should be here or not, I don't know. You know, I mean, but the fact is they are. And I don't know that if we have an English class there, everybody doesn't run in and sit down at a desk. I don't think anybody knows, but it's been, you know, several months now. Has everybody gotten a physical? Has everybody had their shots or find out if they know what a shot is? Is anybody there a nurse? Is anybody a carpenter? Is anybody a plumber?
No, the same people that have told us, you know, especially when it comes to things like the health related stuff, the same people who told us that we would have to be fired if we didn't get vaccines, have no vaccine requirement for the people they're waving into the country.
But Kevin, this is not that difficult.
This is just stupid stuff.
Yeah. But I'm saying, at my level, I can't argue with you and Carl that we're bleeping up the MAGA, not that kind of MAGA, when we're bleeping up these 100 people I'm looking right at. Yeah, they're in a nice neighborhood. There's no crime there. I don't see anybody drinking. I don't see anybody smoking dope. To me, it looks like a layup. I don't, you know, what can I say?
Yeah, it's who comes with them that's the problem. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why a chaotic system. Look, if you really, if you hate the society as it is now, which is part of the socialist point of view on this, if you hate it, what's the best way to cause to get people to agree to substantial change, to substantial overhaul? Chaos, because people hate the chaos. And so when you say it just doesn't work, it can't work, it'll never work, and you do that, then all of a sudden people start listening to different ideas. And this, you know, this is where we are now.
Well,
I
think
people, when you say they're incompetent, I say no, they're intentionally, in many cases. Is Joe Biden incompetent? Yeah, he's a blithering idiot. But are all the people in his administration, which is basically the Obama administration, are they incompetent? No, they're really good at doing exactly what they're trying.
I think the people in the city here are totally incompetent.
Okay.
I think there's
a hell of a lot of people who know exactly what they're doing, and they're doing it on purpose.
Well, now when you say who these people are, I'm going to say it's the people that have the money.
In part, it's the people who have the money because they're calling a lot of shots. But it's also people like Secretary Mayorkas. He knows damn well what the results of his of the way he's operating Homeland Security are, and he's just going to sit there and gaslight us all the way, and he's not following the law. So okay, but you know what? I wouldn't call him incompetent. I would say he's accomplishing his mission.
Well, I don't know. I guess I don't know enough about that. I'm not so sure the people that don't like him know exactly what he's doing either, but they think they do. But I guess on all levels, Kevin, I still want to follow the cash and the split between the people that have and the people that are not. It's almost like we're going to end up with a European nobles versus serf society. And I'd be honest with you, I don't want to be a serf. And I'm not so sure these people that are amassing all this
money. I don't really want to be a serf, and I don't think I want to be a noble either.
No, me neither. I want to be like, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, I hope this isn't, you know, neither one of us are going to live to be 500. But if we did, are we going to say that the term middle class was a cataclysmic thing that happened in the U.S. between 1946 and, I'm going to say, 1998. That was the middle class.
It was such a charming concept.
Yeah, it was such a charming concept. I mean, I don't see anything like that in the future here, do you?
I think we're moving completely away from it. So
So you're going to have the people.
This is in great part because, you know, we have this ruling class that thinks they know better. They think they're righteous. They're not.
What makes you think they're not just greedy?
Well, there's some of that too, but you know, there's also a certain amount of. I mean, have you read the Klaus Schwab book, The Great Reset?
No, I probably should though.
Oh yeah, you absolutely should, because then you sort of get this, the globalist agenda. It's all laid out there. It's right there.
why is it any different, Kevin, than the sovereign state of ITT?
It isn't. It isn't. Except that ITT at least didn't go out and say it.
Yeah, they did. Harold Janine absolutely did.
Okay.
He goes, the world would be way better off if they let the big companies that were multinational. We wouldn't have to deal with these little petty governments. He absolutely said it, and he believed it.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, if you're other than having to deal with one or the other, do you think that the guys from Microsoft, they have to be, or Apple, they have to be somewhat infiltrated by the things in China because they can't lose everything over there. Do you think they actually they're preparing to quote deal with whoever ends up in the White House? And no matter what happens, there will be no antitrust. There will be nothing like that. I mean, this thing with Apple. By the way, do you know the history of that? The music stuff that doesn't go all the way back to the original stuff and with the tunes, does it? They get the
I'm guessing somebody didn't just get a new idea a couple of years ago. So,
but I'm saying they got this fine from Europe.
It probably does, but you know, I can't say I was totally aware of it because I was not a software developer. I wasn't developing apps for them.
Because I mean,
I'd love to get my hands on the agreement, the seller agreement for people who are app developers, and see what it says, because it probably has very explicit language in there about what they can and cannot do.
Well, the idea of stealing other people's music, that happened like the second day there was an internet, right? It started?
Well, yeah, and you know, I mean, that goes back to Napster.
Yeah.
But that, you know, we at least have laws, and actually the copyright laws for music tend to be enforced, not with jail or anything like that, but they do tend to, you know, a lot of people take down music that gets posted saying, sorry, this violates the copyright for the music. So I think that gets policed reasonably well. I think because most of the people who own the copyrights on the music are very diligent about it. They, you know, they watch out for their own interest. So, you know, that part of it is not an issue. Of course, the Apple part was saying, sorry, you make your apps work with our, with iTunes or with, you know, with any of the other applications. That's fine, up to a point. But then when they start telling the app developers, you may not post instructions in your application for accessing other services, or you may not advertise it or anything else. then that's where we have the violations. They're locking these software developers out of basically making their software work with non-Apple products. It'll run on the Apple operating system, but it, you know, you can access iTunes, you can access Spotify as an example. Apple is saying, well, Spotify's behind this and Spotify's going to benefit from it. Well, yeah, Spotify will. So will every other streaming service in the world.
See the headline of, you know, they're getting a fine for this music stuff, it goes back so far. I don't know if it's a fine from 10 years ago, 2 years ago, ongoing. I mean, it's without reading the whole thing. I mean, it's hard to figure out what exactly you're getting fined for, and if they have liability in this country, which it seems like nobody ever does if you're big enough.
Well, we spent a little time on it in class last week because we had just talked to antitrust last week, and I said, lo and behold, what came along since last week? And here we had a finding, and, you know, so we talked about how, you know, that is an illegal tying agreement using monopolistic power to enforce other purchases. And so, you know, we were good on that. But, you know, that's really all it was, is they were saying you can't, your software can't let everybody know that it works with other services besides Apple's.
Well, you know, it's we got a dasher of Russell. Andrew, as soon as you find Russell, if he shows up, let me know. I hope he's back from Germany. I didn't get an email saying he wasn't. Kevin, there's a whole tone change and all. I mean, if you read Crane's in the last week, actually, I know so many people have got some of his money. The mayor just gave out a whole bunch of COVID dough to people with this LaSalle Street thing. Basically, you know, because there was somebody involved that went to some people, and I don't know what their cut was or is, or, you know, assuming that somebody got something from something. Chicago is, you know, what's the motto? Where's mine? So they gave essentially the rest of the COVID money to certain people. And I'm not saying they weren't deserving. I'm not saying whatever. But, Kevin, this is not my idea of government, that people get to hand out other people's money to people to try and curry favor and votes. I mean, I know on some level that's always sort of been the case, but at least it was even. He didn't pick 10 people and say, well, these are the guys, I'm going to give it to them, write them a check, and just walk the other way. Because I'm saying, wait a minute. How do I get involved if I'm just going to be a regular Chicago guy and say, where's mine? I don't think that's right at all, do you?
Oh, I'll even go a step further and say, why are we distributing it anyway? It's 3 years later. If you didn't need the COVID relief funds when we were doing COVID things, why don't you just send it back instead of...
Oh, God, that'll, you know, that'll never happen.
Oh, of course I know it won't happen. But wouldn't that be the appropriate action here?
Oh, yeah, I can... I can remember.
We didn't need it. I'll give it back.
I can remember in the schools, the engineer filling out his budget for next year's equipment and stuff, and ordering, like, you know, three new of those big wash pails that lasted like forever because they were metal. And I said, we got about eight of them. He goes, yeah, but if I don't use my budget, they'll cut it. We got to buy something. What else you want in here if you don't like the pails? Okay, then.
I get it. That's the way it is.
Anyway, Kevin, SP Futures up 24, and NASDAQ Futures at 149. We're going to... Hope Russell's here. If not, we might be calling you back. Be right back.
Russell's on Zoom.
He's in. Well, good. We'll have to find out all about his Germany trip. I'm sure he went on a Gulfstream. We'll have to ask him how the Gulfstream was. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Something happening here. Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. Andrew on the board. SP Futures up 25. NASDAQ Futures up 151. Buy the dip. We got Powell talking. We got all kinds of stuff going on. Russell, how are you? How was that Gulfstream?
Everything, it was fine. You know, they the prime rib was a little dry on the flight back, but, you know.
Did they have only high top shelf booze and all that stuff? Are you with us? What happened to Russell, Andrew?
I'm having phone issues. My phone's not behaving. I'm having all kinds of issues this morning.
Really?
So we'll just leave it at that. Yeah, every little life thing that could go wrong in the first hour and a half of my day has gone wrong. Let's turn this day around.
Let's turn it positive.
I want to talk about Kim Fox. I've been listening to you guys. I'm on my walk to school. The part that you guys didn't bring up and the part that I can never, ever connect is what the hell does George Soros have to do with it, and why does he fund all of these people? You know what I mean? And is he funding people and telling them what to do, or is he finding people that do what he wants and funding them?
I'm not sure.
You see what I'm saying?
You know, and I think so Russell's...
There's a component you guys just didn't really talk about, and I've never, you know, you hear it, and you see that whatever his open society BS is funding these people, but why? And what's the ultimate motive here?
I think, to be charitable to the man who I've never met, there are all kinds of people of all walks of life, some with money, like him, that look at what's going on in America. And America, as much as we love it, with all its warts, we love it. And we mm-hmm. probably have had, you know, people and family members that have died for the place. I have. Mm-hmm. I do. We look at it and say, well, kind of we're doing sort of the right thing. And yet other people look at us and say, what is wrong with these guys? They have more people in jail than virtually any other country in the world per capita. They have more crime per capita than just about any place except Venezuela or some hellhole. Somehow or another, incarcerating all these people and just throwing them all in jail does not seem to be the answer. There has to be some other way to do this.
Yeah.
But yet here it's more time. It's, you know, three strikes and out in California where the jail system, there's more jail guards than there are people or teachers, damn near. I mean, I don't know if it's quite that bad, but I mean, somewhere on some level, our policies in their minds, I think, are not working. That somehow or another, that, you know, having, you know, some huge percentage of black males in the city of Chicago in county jail, not huge percentage, but relatively huge, is when you've got no education and nothing there, doesn't appear to be the solution. especially if they're in there for 2 or 3 years hanging around with all the bad guys, and it turns out they're innocent to start with. I mean, so there's, on that level, there is somebody saying there's got to be another way. Now, what the other way is, nobody seems to be able to put a finger on, because especially when you got degradation of families and parents not disciplining the kids, and all of a sudden they're walking around at 3 in the morning at age 14 with a gun. I don't know, but, you know, society is just, I think society in a lot of times, Russell, is set up for, in all of human history, out of 1,000 people, there's going to be a few that just don't want to get along with the rest of the people, right? And it's relatively easy on a numbers basis to deal with that. If the number gets to be 100 or 200 and a whole area somehow or another doesn't have fathers, doesn't have any kind of home discipline, doesn't have anything together, where you know you can't call up the guy down the block and say, hey, your kid was being an idiot, and the old man go out and smack the kid. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not a child rearing expert, but literally or figuratively, if there's nobody like that, then the police are not really set up to handle everybody's errant 14 or 15-year-old when they're being told what to do by an even more errant 18 or 19-year-old. So I don't know what Soros' motivation is other than this isn't working, let's try another way. I think the other way is kind of worse. It's still, the solution is family staying together, education, those kinds of things that we don't seem to be able to deal with. So I don't know how you promote one. I'm just kind of talking by observing this for years.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't, I feel like there's a disconnect in there that I just can't get it's not like I spent a lot of time thinking about it.
Well, I mean,
you guys were talking about it. But and
Russell, your question is incredibly, I don't think, if you thought about it for a second, you say you're having a rough morning. Your question is incredibly was incredibly deep seated. How does a guy like Soros, God don't even know where the hell the guy lives, how does he find a state's attorney candidate in Cook County and give him money? Who recruits him for that? Who says you gotta? I mean, who's his go between? I mean, if he says I want to promote this stuff, find me 200 people running for office across the U.S. that somehow, even though I don't think that the lady ever even put forth a platform. If you put down a, you know, does anybody even know what she really thinks? I mean, what, you know, how did Sam Bankman-Fried find Jesse Jackson's kid and give him $1.5 million for that race? I mean, how do you recruit? How does somebody from the South Side find Bankman-Fried in the Bahamas and get $1.5 million check? I mean, I'd love to see the mechanism. But it's got to be something like the Soros mechanism. I mean, who are these in-between people? And how do they find these people? And you're right. What do you promise them?
I don't know. I mean, that's the, you know, back in the day, we would say that it was a, I'm going to choose my words carefully today. But you know, back in the day, it was a bunch of, you know, in a dark room with a bunch of fat old white guys smoking cigars and planning the world. You know, that's the visual. Now I don't know what's going on behind the curtain. You know, my understanding is some very wealthy guy decided that he wanted to create AOC, and they had auditions for the person that was going to become, you know, that was going to end up being that guy's candidate. And, you know, he got her elected, and apparently I don't think he works with her anymore, and that's why you don't hear as much and why she doesn't come across as well as she used to. But what was his motivation other than, you know, maybe getting the other guy out or something like that?
Well, yeah.
That's the part that really is the big part, because and the thing is, I have heard that Soros backs these people. I've never looked up and tried to see if this is true or not.
Did anybody ever look at her? Did anybody ever look at her? And I'm not sure it's on there. I don't know. I can't.
I'm kind of goofing off and trying it right now.
I mean, if you were to go back, did you ever remember the books? You're old enough to remember The Making of the President, 1960, and The Making of the Pro. Was it Theodore White? Who's to write those things?
I can't.
When the Bush won, what was the guy from Tennessee's name? Al Gore. That campaign, there was a, I still have it at home somewhere buried. I think it was the U.S. News and World Report or Time Report, where the deal was you could implant somebody in the campaign that had access to like all the meetings and everything. He couldn't say a word till after the quote election. All right, now.
Yeah.
So
that's, you know that's what my daughter's doing right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And
yeah. Go ahead.
So.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's the same group. I think it was. Yeah. Was it whatever? He's got to be dead. But the when Clinton was in office, I mean, who was the guy? Well, to finish that piece of the story was, well, the election was over, but the winner hadn't been declared. So they put all their notes and stuff out in the U.S. News and World Report. Not all, because it wasn't a book, but it was a pretty fat magazine. Essentially the whole story. And the story started for Bush 2 was the... who was the guy that he just croaked? He was Reagan's Secretary of State and Secretary of the Treasury. What's his name? He was born with... Oh, God.
Wasn't Schultz, was it?
Yeah. Schultz.
I remember the Secretary of State. I don't remember the other role.
He was Secretary of Treasury too.
Okay, did not know that. That's the job. You know, that's the job I want.
Oh yeah, without a doubt, and I'd support you for that.
You know why?
You get to make $7 million the next year in the rubber chicken circuit.
No. Your signature goes on the money.
Oh yeah.
That's the only reason. Go ahead. Sorry. I just always thought that would be cool. I'll stop interrupting you.
Well, that's fine. But the story was Schultz calls a meeting for like all the high end Republican dudes. You know, the neocons and the people at that age, Reagan's people. Sort of like, you know, we still think the Obama people's after this is behind this guy. And they start essentially interviewing people because they hated Clinton. You know, we can't deal with this guy anymore. So they interview guys, and they come across Bush. And they go, okay, well, he's not the brightest bulb in the box, but he had owned a baseball team, which, of course, is near and dear to people's hearts. He had been governor of Texas. He had served...
He's likable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's likable.
You know?
He had served in the National Guard, even though he got the home assignment and never did anything and never went to NAM. The problem was when he was young, he was a rabble rouser. So they said, okay, if we can cut everything you ask about the guy from age 40 when he essentially reformed, and basically say we're never answering a question from before age 40, if we get away with that, he's our guy. And they raised at the time, that table evidently raised at the time something like $35 million, back when $35 million was a lot of money. And he goes up to New Hampshire. And he gets his ass kicked by McCain. And they're going, wait a minute. This wasn't supposed to happen. So before the next one, which used to be Super Tuesday, I don't know if they called it Super Tuesday, the internet had just started out. They launched a campaign against McCain. His wife was screwing around on him when he was a prisoner of war. The only reason why he got out of there is because he gave up secrets to the North Vietnamese. All this stuff. They start landing in these, you know, pretty much right-wing states. So Bush ends up winning in Carolina and never looked back. And that was the reason at the convention McCain refused to shake his hand. Was those same guys, sort of the same thing they did to Spitzer, these other people. So it's not just promotion of the people... whoever the theys are want. It's total...
No, it's the pushing down the other side.
Without a doubt. I mean, when Obama ran...
And both sides do it. And you know what? You're getting ready to tell the story that was in my mind. Because when I said, would both sides do it, that's where I was going. Was, you know, Obama's group basically knocked three competitors out.
Well, the one guy in Chicago, what's his name? Was it Fitzgerald? He's running for Senate with him. And the story was he went to a sex club in Europe with his wife. I'm thinking,
oh, yeah. He took Jerry Hall to some place in Paris.
And I was like... The guy's with his wife. Who cares what he does?
That's what he said. I don't think it was Fitzgerald. I think the guy's name was different. He was a
was different. Fitzgerald was the guy who was the center. I'm sorry.
And you hated it for him. They did that to him. They did it to Blair Hull.
Yeah.
They did it. And you know, the next person after those two was going to be Ditka, and Ditka backed out because the story was Ditka backed out because he. Because he wouldn't be able to like call football games or anything. You know, he found out the things he wouldn't be able to do anymore that he liked to do if he became a senator. So he backed out. I will almost guarantee you that somebody came to him and said, this is the stuff that's going to come out about you if you run.
Yeah, how do you get a guy?
And then we brought that guy in from out, you know, that wasn't even from Illinois, and I've forgotten that guy's name, and he got crushed by Obama.
Oh yeah, the black guy. They brought him from, he wasn't even from Illinois.
Yeah, I've forgotten that guy's name too.
I got
three votes in that election.
Well, you and your wife, your wife wouldn't vote for it.
No,
would
my
you?
Wife did not vote for me. A couple friends that we're very good friends with, they both voted for me, and I voted for me.
Now, in Michigan, I believe, I was going through all the state returns last time, and it's unbelievable how some states, I don't think they let you on the ballot. I think you got to register to be a write-in. Like if you go to
you
some,
you have to register. I don't officially have the votes because I didn't register.
There's a couple states. I don't know if it's Colorado or Michigan where there's a huge list of people, and they'll have, Andrew 45 votes. I mean, they'll go all the way down the list. I mean, where others
a dog.
Where other states, there, there's, I don't know if they cut off at 100 or 50 or whatever it is, but other states there's like two names. You know, it's Biden and Trump and the Libertarian. Yeah. If you weren't on there, you didn't get counted. Some states, it's all the way down. There's like a list of 40 people. You know, this guy got 25. This guy got 20. 150 or something. Yeah. Anyway, what you get a chance yesterday? I wanted to ask you this one. I try to be a little bit at least observant, and every once in a while I go through the Treasury statements, right? And the reason why I do it, I mean, one of the reasons is. Obviously, I want to know how we're doing on the budget deficits and so forth. And I'm just so over all the, I'm going to say they're not buffoons individually, but collectively, all the buffoons on, the CNBC places telling me how great the economy is and how everybody's growing. And Janet Yellen saying how wages are growing. And yet, last year, government receipts now were less than the year before. And this year they're like slightly ahead. They're kind of on the same path, roughly the same as 2022 fiscal. Mm-hmm. So we really haven't gained sort of anything in terms of, one thing's for sure, if you get a raise, you're paying more to the government, right? So if everybody's getting this 40% raise that everybody's saying everybody's getting, you would think the government receipts would be pretty darn high, right? But what Carl noticed, and Janet Yellen last week came out and said, there's no problem with inflation because people's salaries or wages are growing more than 20% of the year, which is, by the way, BS. And secondly, the prices are up more than that. But what Carl noticed in the last, now we're going to do this again Friday, last monthly report, I don't know if I mentioned this to you, Russell, or you heard it, hourly wages actually went up, sort of what these people are saying. Weekly paycheck went down. Because everybody's getting essentially docked an hour, so, but I look at those numbers, and once in a while I go to the debtclock.org, right? Once in a while, too often, where it shows the debt going up. And Greg Pappas one day, actually 2 days, about a year ago, he timed it for $1 million, and it was like 45 seconds or something, something ridiculous.
Yeah.
And he timed it maybe 2 weeks ago, and it was down to like 36 seconds.
Lord.
So. This lady, Michelle Fox, we've talked about her, some of her writings before, CNBC. What a great name, huh? Michelle Fox? I like that.
Oh, yeah.
So she writes this article the other day, and I think I sent it to you, regarding we're talking about $1 trillion more deficit every 100 days. And I'm sitting there going, I had a feeling that the debt was growing faster than you would sort of guess by the budget deficits. Now, in my world, and I don't know about your world, in the world of high finance, in my world, if your family spent $100,000 last year and made $90,000, I probably can find either $10,000 coming out of savings, or $10,000 being borrowed someplace. I mean, this all has to match up somewhere, doesn't it, or should it?
Yeah, it should.
And so, so Carl comes on yesterday because I sent this question out to all you guys saying, how does this not match? Because she's got the deficit growing at roughly two and a half times faster than you would think it would be by just looking at the deficit numbers. And I could not put two and two together. And I'm thinking she can't be wrong. I mean, she's usually pretty researched in the stuff she does. So Carl comes out and says there's a whole different set of books the government has, something like budgettothepenny.com or something that they have, where there's actually money that just there's money that comes in, just is like gone, or they borrow money and they spend it and it doesn't make it onto the balance sheet at all. Now, is that mean they go out and borrow money like just for the CIA and don't even count it as an expenditure, or the money they're sending overseas? I mean, how do you determine which check you include in the numbers and which one you don't? I mean, who makes that call?
Isn't Medicare and Social Security, aren't those broken out separately?
They're still part of the money that goes in and out. Medicare. Yeah. If you go down to the detail of the Treasury statement, it'll tell you what they spend on Medicare.
Okay. There are certain things that government's on the hook for that they don't count as something that's being.
If Social Security has a surplus, the surplus goes against what you and I would say would be the deficit. So, mm-hmm. Social Security has a $100 billion surplus, and the deficit is $500. They're going to say the deficit's $400, even though mm-hmm. the Social Security is allegedly being saved, which it really isn't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that kind of. But I never thought there was a cash mech, or they actually go out and borrow $100 billion on a Tuesday, and it doesn't even make it into the regular mm-hmm. books. That there's another book system. Where did that come from? And how do you determine? Oh well, if we buy a tank, we'll count that. But if we send money to some operative over in Uruguay or someplace, we won't count that. I mean,
that's off the books.
Yeah, who makes that call?
I don't know. I don't really know. That's just funny.
Thing I don't get about you is the professor on Gilligan's Island knew everything.
I know, and the actor's name was Russell.
Really. What was his name other than being a professor? What was his name on the show?
I don't remember.
I don't either.
I know the captain's first name was Noah.
Really? God. How did that work out for Noah?
I don't know. Not very well, you know.
Well, he sort of had every kind of animal on there, though, didn't he? He had a blonde, a brunette.
The millionaire and his wife, what the hell are they doing on there with some farm girl from, there was some weirdness going on there.
Well, plus they... look at the luggage they had. It was like they were on the Queen Mary or something.
I don't know. After some of the days I've had lately, I kind of wouldn't mind being over there with Marianne and Ginger.
I'm thinking you remind me a lot of the millionaire, Thurston Howell.
Oh, really? I'm Thurston Howell the third?
Yeah. No, you could be the fourth.
Maybe like, be the fourth.
Yeah.
They did have a junior.
Really?
Course.
Because he would look at you and say, "Oh, he must be a Yale man. He's a Yale man."
Yeah. So.
God. Well,
I did look up, and back in 2020, Forrest gave Kim Fox $2 million.
Okay.
So, I did confirm there's a Sun Times article saying that happened.
But I mean, if you went to the Illinois Politics or whatever website where people mm-hmm. get their money, and you looked under Kim Fox, would it say $2 million from Soros?
From a PAC. Yeah,
oh, okay.
I lost the article because I got clickbaited into who is Jason Palmer, who is the guy. Did you know that Biden lost to Jason Palmer in America Samoa?
Yeah, who is that
American
guy?
American Samoa? I don't know. Some random dude. He calls himself a problem solver.
By the way, who else is running that I can vote for? Who's the Libertarian this time?
Well, we're out of them. I forgot who. I've actually been looking at RFK.
Dude, he's not going to be on a ballot.
Well, he may be on as a what they're going to call the no labels candidate. I do think RFK is going to make the third party thing.
Well, then I definitely would vote for him.
And I don't agree with him on everything, but. If there was some way that he could win instead of these other two guys, I would be all over it.
Well, I'll make a prediction that I hope I'm wrong on? Nowhere between now and November, other than massively embellishing this immigration thing, are we going to hear any sort of debate on any sort of issue that you and I care about?
Oh, gosh, no. No, we're not. We're just going to hear... One guy's too old and doesn't know where he is half the time, and the other guy's a crook.
Yeah.
And what's funny is both of those labels could be for either of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think they're both crooks, and I think they're both, I'm sorry, but I wouldn't, the way I said this to my wife, I said, you know, if those were our two grandfathers, would you leave either of our kids alone with them?
Oh, God, no. God, no.
I think that's a pretty good litmus test right there.
Well, I've said this.
I'd let them spend the weekend with Nikki Haley.
Well, my mom is,
And, you know, she dropped out today.
Yeah, my mom has been, I think she's been dead for like 17 years. I remember going to breakfast with her. Was it the Bush-Kerry thing? They both were, weren't they both members of, what's the secret society?
They were both in Skull and Bones.
Yeah.
Bush was a senior when Kerry was a freshman.
Well, my mom says, we got 320 million people. How is it that we're voting for between two C students that both laid naked in a coffin looking up at dead animals? Hey, ma'am, I can't answer that question. Imagine what she'd say about these two buffoons.
Oh, my God. You know, honestly, you know, my father died in 2019, and I there's a close family friend that lives in Chicago now, and I speak with her every once in a while. And she actually, and her husband died just before COVID as well. My dad and this guy were grade school, college friends for life. And she said, I'm actually happy that neither of them are alive to see the state of the world right now.
Yeah. Well, the problem is you have two wonderful daughters. So you can't just opt out and say it's yours.
I can't.
No.
So,
not to mention you have dogs you got to worry about.
I do. I got two dogs. One, you know, both of them are doing particularly well. By the way, the Chicago French Bulldog Rescue has a new intake. His name is Russell.
Wow.
Looking for a home.
How old?
I don't know how old Russell is. He had to have back surgery, so he's in recovery right now. But I'd take him, but I've been told no.
God, if Audrey's listening to this, he might already be snapped up.
They're the best little dogs.
And the question is, would Maggie like him? She doesn't like anybody.
Probably not.
The Irish Wolfhound wanted to say hello to her, and he's like, she's like 14 pounds. He's like 160. He puts his big nose down there to say hello. She tried to bite his nose.
Of course.
God. Anyway, SP Future.
Little dogs, I think they're big.
Oh, yeah. By the way, when we come back, I have some
Ken Fox.
I have some very serious numbers questions for you, like I already have been giving them to you. SP Future's up 26. NASDAQ Futures up 147. We're trying to make back at least a big chunk of yesterday. We'll see if we do. We are so far. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas, and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you! Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck, get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Low and Rumpag, Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howe. Andrew on the board. S&P futures up 25. NASDAQ futures up 137. We've got Paul saying economy's doing so great, they're not ready to cut interest rates. Everything's swimming, according to him. We'll talk about that with Russell in a second. Again, Dow futures up 133. I've got individual stocks. Got Abercrombie and Fitch came out with good earnings, but the stock's down 395, which is not totally different than Target, which was up huge yesterday. So these earnings things are all over the place, but they're all moving. Well, most of them seem to be moving way more than the straddle, which again we'll talk to Russell about. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 8, call that flat. FTSE up 17.2%. CAC round up 8.1%. Is the big UK budget statement is today. Now those guys have already declared themselves in a recession, for those that haven't been listening. So we'll see how that works out. Nikkei down 6, call that flat. Hang Seng up 275, 1.7, making up a chunk of what they lost yesterday. Shanghai down 7.3%. Still hanging over 3,000, 3,039. Yesterday, big sell-off, even though we came back actually quite a bit on the close. It was worse than this. Dow was down 404, S&P down 52. I think it was down 65-ish, maybe 70-ish at one point. NASDAQ down 267. It was down well over 300. It came back on the close. Again, it was a horrible day, but it was finished better than it was at 230. Bonds, unchanged, 4.14. The Bund up 2 basis points, 2.34. Japan up 2 basis points, 0.72. We have oil up $1.04, 79.19, trying to get back over 80 where it was a couple days ago. Brent up 80 cents, 82.84. Natural gas up a penny, 197. I can't get over it. It seems cheap. It was 168 last week. What a great buy. Wow. Not a very good sell either at 168. RBOB up a penny, 254. Foreign exchange with the euro unchanged at 108.7. British pound unchanged at 120. Actually, British pound's up a little bit at 127. Gold is up $1.50, 21.43. Trying to hang up here in the mid-2100s, which is $100 higher than it was last week. Silver up a penny, 24 bucks. And we've got crypto up 39.70 to 66,310, but yesterday morning it was 67, so went down. Now it's back up, but still it's been really going higher here. What do you got for us, Trevi? Weather, sports.
All right, it is 7:37 here in Chicago on Wednesday, March 6th. Starting off with just a little bit of sports, we finally have a win from the Blackhawks over the Coyotes. Blackhawks won 5-2.
Okay, and over for how bad are the Coyotes?
That I haven't seen too much. I haven't noted the losses like I have for the Blackhawks at the very least.
Yeah. But
over in basketball, we have the Suns won over the Nuggets, 117-107. And over to Chicago weather, it is currently 40 degrees right now. We have mostly cloudy skies. Very slight chance of rain throughout the day, but that's pretty small, under about 5%. We're gonna have a high 43. That's gonna hit around 2 p.m. And over to Phoenix, they're currently at 53 degrees, mostly cloudy skies. They have about the same chance of rain going into the night, hitting a high about 8% chance at 4 a.m. And we're going to have a high of 75, and they'll hit around 4 p.m. Now, finally, for Chicago traffic, looks like we got a whole lot in the red today, basically. We're coming in on the inbound Kennedy, basically all the way from Harlan Avenue to downtown. Same basically applies for every expressway. Only major accident to note is the same we noted in our first hour, Looks like the exit ramp is closed due to an overturned semi at the Tri-State South at Eisenhower Expressway. And it looks like police report the ramp will be closed until about 11 a.m. But looks like not too many slowdowns around there at the very least. That's all I got. Back to you, Chief.
Is that thing cleaned up in Indiana, sort of? Where they had the shooting?
Let's see. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, because it was all closed. 8094 was closed one way this morning. Russell, can you imagine what a fiasco that is?
Oh, I drive that, you know, I'm in Indiana right now, but I do that drive really early once a week. I did it yesterday. I'm kind of glad that I didn't have to do it today.
What do you take?
The thought was I dodged a bullet this morning.
Yeah, literally. Well, somebody didn't. Somebody's dead.
Yeah, I know.
We
take 80, 94, and then we come down 65. And I say we because there's another professor that rides with me.
Will you scoot down 355 to 80?
I don't even have to use 355. I'm not that far west.
All right. I mean, you don't come into the city, do you?
I go around 294.
All right. There you go. All right. So
I'm not that far out. So.
Questions.
Yeah.
Questions and these numbers. When I say numbers, we have, it appears to me, worldwide, everybody is pushing money into the system. And the Japanese clearly are. They're back at old record highs from 1985. Chinese here appear to be doing it as well, or at least trying. I even looked at Turkey the other day. The money supply is up 65% in the last year. So is their inflation, and so is their stock market. The exact same number, almost. Duh. It's happening. I looked at last week, even before I saw these government numbers, in terms of the $1 trillion every 100 days, I looked at the rise in consumer debt. It's not growing, Russell. It's damn near vertical. And I heard on the air the other day, it was on News Radio 78, I always give the push because that's where I heard it, that the car loan, the loans are almost as vertical as consumer loans, credit card loans, and they're starting to be all kinds of people not paying those. But I mean, we're talking about if this number in the U.S. is $1 trillion every 100 days is damn near vertical there either. As well, not either. What if you were somebody that's been, you know, I've been trying to warn about where we're heading on this for the last how many years, and getting nowhere because nobody listens. The market just keeps going up. Plus, now if I would have waited, been more patient, okay, the whole way and never had any puts the whole way or never any protection, and just been along like I probably should have been, right now I'd be getting real nervous because these graphs are not just rapid growth, they're getting crazed growth. What, and I read last week somebody talking about how whoever the next president is in 25 is going to have to address some of this, and it's going to be like really ugly no matter what they do. I guess I'm not sure why, if something's going to happen, it's going to wait till 2025. I mean, how do you time something like that? And what's the solution? Is anybody recognizing any of this stuff? Or people really think they just keep handing out money to the tune of $1 trillion every 100 days and there's not going to be a problem?
No, yeah, I mean, they don't understand the business thing. I was watching Bloomberg this morning when they were talking about Powell and
you're coming in and out here. You got to move to another spot.
Fielding questions, I have created a PowerPoint presentation to explain monetary policy to you guys, which would be kind of, and it, the thing is, the people in Congress don't really understand this stuff. I mean, and that's very unfortunate. And I don't know how you pick. I mean, my big hope, and I really had a positive attitude. I try to have a positive attitude about everything until I'm proven wrong, which is probably a fault. But I was pretty fired up when Trump got elected, and I was hoping that it would bring more business people into government. You know, we don't put our best, in the United States, our best and brightest don't go into government. They go into business. You know, in other countries where there are not a lot of business opportunities, you go into government. Also because it's a great way to get rich. And it's been a way to get rich in the United States as well.
Didn't used to be, but now it is.
I wish there were people that have better understanding.
You gotta reconnect your connection there. Whatever your phone's doing, it's doing you wrong.
Yeah, I told you I'm not having the best of mornings. So is it a little bit better now?
Yeah, but you're sounding good. And by the way, you got all kinds of information. I mean, what are things going to look like if the market and the real estate market were to collapse even by 30 or 40%? People, I watch this NVIDIA every day, and in people's mentality, Russell, and I hope I'm wrong, in people's mentality, because PTI was in business in 2000. I mean, we had been in business for 9 years. The mentality was, I mean, if we had people that had Oracle, we didn't have a whole lot of people with Cisco, thank God. But it didn't just go from 65 to 650. There were people that picked bottoms at 50, at 40, at 30. It had to be the buy of your life. At 20, it was the buy of five centuries. At 20, it was. In fact, as it kept going down, I mean, we're at this. And right now, I look at this one stock, and who knows? They could end up owning the world and work their way into this price. If I look at this NVIDIA, this is like, this is not a stock anymore. It's a religion. It's the AI religion. We're talking about a stock that was under 800 last week. Now was 870 something, drops to 850, and all of a sudden it's a buy. It's a dip. How could it be a dip? Well, I guess it was. I guess how you define dip, but
dip relative to where it was.
But I mean, so this stock is now maybe they'll do a hell of a lot better than Cisco and Oracle. I mean, I don't know that much about it. Where this AI thing's going to go? I got a good one for you. I get this email. We get emails all the time about people trying to raise money for us. Well, first of all, we don't need any money. We're fine. And secondly, a brokerage firm just can't go borrow money for laughs, because it comes off your capital, not goes on. Right? So, I mean, they obviously don't. The people trying to lend us money, they're just trying to loan anybody money. But they don't even realize that a brokerage firm, you can't borrow money, right? Unless it's a partner. I mean, literally, if we borrowed money, we'd have to borrow it from a partner. So, I mean, nobody needs to know all this stuff. But anyway, so I get one from this one lady, and she wants to bring the AI experience to PTI. And I'm thinking, wow, what if I could do a commercial where PTI Securities, the first brokerage firm to use AI for your investments, or something stupid like that. Why not? I mean, how many people would fly over here with their accounts because of this AI phenomenon, even though nobody even knows what it is?
And nobody knows how you're going to make money from it.
No. But if firm...
That was a big argument with the internet as well. And there were people that figured out how to make money on it, but most companies didn't. So, and you can say, well, you know, NVIDIA makes the hardware, so it's no big deal if they don't make any, you know, if they're not making any money, but eventually their customers are going to run out of money. And that's what happened to Cisco.
Yeah.
You know, Cisco was providing all the equipment for the internet, and basically... their customers couldn't buy stuff from them anymore, and it was the first crack in everything. So that, you know, you got to keep an eye on NVIDIA around that one. NVIDIA is selling everything they can make right now, but at some point they're not going to be able to continue that sort of pace at all.
Well, plus the one thing I've learned is that, you know, even in this economy, which is a lot different than where I grew up, if you think America is still America, the idea that 10 years from now they're not going to have any competitors, people get good at this. I mean, you know, you're not going to tell me that Intel, AMD, all these other places are still going to be, you know, dragging behind these guys 5 years from now. Sony was never going to have a competitor. Does anybody know what Sony is anymore? You know, I mean, people find a way to compete.
I remember Sony.
Yeah, well, so do I. You had a
No, they do, and I mean, 20 years ago, if you had told me 20 years ago that Intel still, would, you know, at some point wasn't going to be a leading semiconductor company, I'd have called BS on it.
Yeah,
and now they're kind of an afterthought because they didn't keep up. They got fat and lazy.
Well, but Carl's not absolutely convinced, and he knows more about this than sure I do, that the split was. Again, this is way above my pay grade. was NVIDIA made these incredible graphics cards.
Yeah, they did. They were used for Bitcoin mining.
And also, the graphics cards, people think, are going to be the thing that drives AI. And Carl's not convinced that that's the case, that that's going to be that way for a while. That other people might actually come up with something better. Because they started out as graphics cards. Now, again, it's way above my pay grade, but there's reasons to question the idea that they're going to be the only company standing 5 years from now. Because they may be, but it's not 100% chance. I mean, right?
Oh, no. It's never, you know, it's never been that way in just about any industry known to man.
Yeah.
You know, we're all about creative destruction.
Yeah, and that's the idea. I mean, right? You're supposed to.
So, you know, NVIDIA, they've got some great technology. People believe they've got some uses for it, which is great and all, but how do you make money from it?
Well, I mean, right now,
I have students asking me about AI stocks, and I'm like, I don't know that much about the area. And I often talk about, you know, the guy that opened the first gas station in Vegas did better than a lot of the casinos.
Oh, without a doubt. Well, the guy that sold... Oh, was the guy that sold blue jeans during the gold rush, or shovels, did better than the gold miners.
Yeah, didn't...
Your every other word against you.
Stanford got started by somebody that sold all the supplies to the gold miners in California, not somebody that found a whole lot of gold.
Actually, didn't they find... what did Lou say? More gold in this country was found at near his place in... Colorado, Cripple Creek, than anywhere else, right?
Oh, wow.
And matter of fact, they have gold, for those that... You have time for a 45-second story on one of the dumbest things I ever didn't do?
Sure.
We had a client down...
Fire away.
We had a client down in Phoenix, and he was a big developer, right? He was a World War II navigator and a B-24, was a POW. I mean, interesting dude. He was one of our first clients, guy nothing but dough. Learned so much from that guy. He's the guy I told you about that when he used to trade all these futures. Who were the original, people that do fundamental analysis, not fundamental, technical analysis. There were like three or four different camps, right? There's a Fibonacci people. I think Joe Granville had a technical thing. And then there's like the candles, those guys. And anyway, there's like four of them. I can't. But there was a machine back in those days called, was it Future Source? And he cobbled together back when nobody had.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but he cobbled together a big system with like four, a big huge screen, back before anybody even had a big huge screen. With the four different ones all in the quadrants of the screen. Back before, I couldn't have done that. This guy was pretty inventive. And he watched all of these particular technical groups. And if something came out with a buy, like say in corn or buy in soybeans or in pork bellies or in silver or gold or whatever it was, he'd wait for all four of them to confirm and then he would buy. And he put $250,000 into an account, which in 1991 was a lot of dough, right? And did it for a whole year and wasn't up any money. So he basically has a heart-to-heart with himself. Self, what am I doing wrong? And he found out by going back over the whole year that he was right virtually all the time. Now, what that means, 90% or 75, I don't know. I didn't quiz him. But he was right most of the time, but he was almost always early, or he would get stopped out, and it turns out he'd end up being right, up or down. Yeah. And so he's somewhat of a mathematician guy, hence he was the navigator. I don't know if you guys even do it anymore in these grad schools. Do you guys still do regression analysis? Okay. I mean, it's been so long since I've done that. But so he decides to use a regression analysis model on all the different commodities. And he finds out that the delay in every one of them is different. I think he said in corn or soybeans. Now, please don't. This is out of 30-year-old memory. I think he said corn and soybeans was like 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
Where pork bellies was like 2 weeks. Live cattle was like 1 week. So it was every one of them had. So he when he would get a buy or a sell, he would end up, he'd wait the time. And all of a sudden, he starts kicking ass, basically. And he had some huge years. But then he decided, get a list, he didn't like Clinton, and he was a staunch Republican. So he sells everything, pitches his citizenship, and moves to, becomes a citizen of the Isle of Man with a residency in Bermuda, of all things. And he was gone as a client. I'm going, what the hell? Anyway, I'm at his house in Arizona. Audrey's with me. And one of his son's buddies is a guy who's got, for those that don't know anything about concrete business, usually the money is in the aggregate, not in the cement, right? It's in the stone. That's it. Concrete is sand, stone, and cement mixture, right? Portland cement. Well, the money is in the stone, because it's hard to find good aggregate. Well, now you bust up old pavement and you get the aggregate out of that, but in those days you didn't. So in Arizona, the place is 90% owned by basically Indian reservations and government lands, right? And I don't know if you knew that or not. State, I'm talking about. So he ends up with a deal with the Indians for the aggregate. So if anybody put any part of an expressway down anywhere around Phoenix or that area, you had to use this guy's stone, basically. So the guy comes over, we're having a cookout, and of course he's this big, good-looking guy, muscled up. His wife's adorable. He's got the three little daughters, one cuter than the next. And he says, hey, you know, I own this gold mine I just bought from this old guy in California, which is like, how far is California from Phoenix? 2-3 hours? just right to the border? He goes, what are you doing tomorrow? I said, well, I'm on the plane. I get it back in trade. Oh, come on. Take another couple days. We'll take a ride out there. I'll show you this gold mine. And he pulls this thing out of his pocket, and it was like it was a prescription bottle and all these little nuggets of gold in there. And he goes, we'll find some of those tomorrow. And I go,
no.
Yeah, and he goes, this old dude had this mine, and he just went down every day with essentially a pick and shovel, and he'd pick out a few nuggets, and it was plenty for him. Now, if you wanted to make it into a real gold mine, it was like $1 million of infrastructure to have the water, all the stuff in the state of California, prove it and everything if somebody else bought it. So I don't think he ever did it, but he goes, come on, I'll show you a real gold mine. And of course, me being the goofball that I am, I said, oh, no, I got to go trade, you know, blah, 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 I got big positions. I could have taken those 2 days. I bet that would have been a riot. Of course, the ladder might have broken. Yeah. I'd be in the bottom of the hole still. I don't know, but the guy literally had the wooden ladder down in the hole.
Fantastic.
But yeah, he says, oh, we'll find some gold. And I'm thinking, what do you do with a little prescription bottle full of gold? I guess you could take it somewhere and sell it, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure there's somebody that buys it and melts it down.
I'm sure. Oh, yeah. But I didn't go, the knucklehead that I am. But so then the guy tells me that a lot of times they have to blow up stuff to get the aggregate, right? Or if there's a...
Throw a stick of dynamite down there. Every
He goes. They were making this roadway and they had to bust up some of this rock, so they're blowing it up. Well, the dynamite guy like doesn't show up, but he had the holes there, so they needed to blow this thing. So he decides, him and a buddy decide, well, we'll just do it. So they put the dynamite comes in the stack of three.
Yeah.
So he goes, they shove it in there and light it, and get out of the way. The guy said, you did what? Those holes are for one stick, not three, you idiot. He goes, this big thing blows up. It sends rocks onto the expressway. He goes, fortunately, it didn't hit a car or anything. They had to close it down while he cleaned up the rock.
Yeah.
He goes, you're supposed to put one stick in there. You put three, this big boom. Anyway, he was a character, but I think he did pretty well. Just saying.
I want to go. Where is this gold mine?
It was, well, this is how many years ago, but the guy had retired.
I'm going to be out in Phoenix at the end of March.
Find
the gold man.
I think we'd put the little hat on with the light, we'd get down there and start looking for some gold. They'd read about it. So there'd be a rattlesnake down there, and they'll find the bodies a century from now. Just saying. So, I mean, if we start to turn around here, Russell, which some of these people are saying, this debt mountain, not only is it huge, but it's accelerating now at it. How are we going to know the day that we want to get short or at least sell out? What's going to be right now? I'm seeing the signals, but I don't think the signals are today or next week or I don't think it's the election. I don't know. I don't think the Fed's going to try. But what are they going to do? I mean, how? Somebody somewhere has got to be saying $1 trillion every 100 days. That's kind of a lot.
I think what you're going to start to see is you're going to start to see the problems in China cause China to do some things where they've got to sell things that they own, and they own a bunch of gold right now. So, and you can typically think of gold as a flight to quality thing when we have financial turmoil. I think gold would actually be going in the opposite direction. So you could pick up on them running out of money, and I do think they're about to run out of foreign currency. You know, their foreign currency reserves they've been using to basically live a lockdown dystopian lifestyle for about 3 years with COVID, and now they're not recovering to pay the bill associated with that.
What do you make of the 7% increase?
I think gold will tip its hand a little bit to us. VIX is already doing it. VIX has been in an uptrend since December, and while the S&P 500 continues to make new highs. And that's always an early canary in the coal mine, but we always need a catalyst, and I think the catalyst is going to be associated with commercial real estate.
The VIX is 13.96 down this morning. I have had many clients call.
It bottomed out at 12.07 on December 12th.
Well, I've had many clients call, and a few of them say, X that guy Russell, he's the VIX expert. Should somebody do a November, 15-25 VIX spread or something? I don't know.
Well, no, you don't. You don't want to use December. And first off, the you don't want to use November because and we're running out of time. And next week we'll do a whole thing on VIX. Next week I'm going to talk about everything that I know about VIX.
You wrote a book on VIX. It'll take more.
I wrote the only two books on VIX out there. I'm not confident about a lot of things, but I can tell you that I know. I'm conversant in VIX better than most people. I've had people say that I know.
I'm going to say everybody I've ever
that's willing to talk about it.
Russell,
there are people that won't talk about it.
Don't be nice to people this morning. You know more about VIX than any. You know more about VIX than anybody.
Well, I don't know about that, but I think that because there are people that trade it every single day, and I'm not like that. So, but from a macro standpoint, the thing is, you don't want to do November. You want to do nearer term VIX because the futures are more reactive if you're using the near dated futures as opposed to the November one. So if you have a November outlook, what you have to do is you have to use March and then roll to April and roll to May.
I wrote
a blog series on this last year where somebody asked me in December if I thought we were going to get a ball spike till June, how would I play it? And I basically paper traded it and wrote a whole series about that. I think I'm going to do the same thing about if you think we're going to get a volatility spike between now and the election, the way to go about playing it.
I think it's going to be driven by some kind of debt crisis. Anyway, do us a favor while you're
real estate thing is going to cause a debt crisis.
While you're hacking around on your computer, why don't you lob the page of Russell's biography, Russell the dog?
Sorry.
Maybe we'll send it out.
Okay.
Is he on the page? Does he have a page?
I don't know if I ever got a page.
I mean you. I mean the dog.
Oh, the dog. No, the dog doesn't have a page.
Well, sometimes those rescue people have a page for every dog.
No, they did when they were trying to find a home for her, but not really anymore. But there is an Instagram page for Chicago French Bulldog Rescue, and Mocha shows up on there every once in a while.
I'm talking about the new guy, Russell, the one that's looking for a home.
Oh, Russell is looking for a home. I'll send a link out. And
all right, fair enough, bud.
On Twitter or something.
Maybe
like that.
somebody will snap him up.
Yep.
All right, buddy. Take care of yourself. S&P futures up 30 now. NASDAQ futures up 160. We liked what Paul said. It appears. Be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed.
back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.
That's all, folks.